I'm delighted that you're here. I hope you've got your Bible with you and eager to study. I encourage you to turn to the book of Joshua. We'll start in chapter 1, work our way over to chapter 3, and that's where we'll be spending our time in our study this morning. Joshua, starting with chapter 1. The book of Joshua concerns itself, as you know, with the conquest of Canaan. What chapter 1 is about, let's give a quick summary of that, because that's only serving for our purpose today as an introduction to the things over in chapter 3. So in chapter 1, what we have is simply Joshua prepares for the conquest. We're familiar enough with the conquest that we can briefly work through some things in chapter 1 and get the concept of Joshua's preparation. Now I want you to notice in verse 2, Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 2, that God said to Joshua that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over Jordan. You're going to cross the Jordan. It's not that you're going to travel somewhere till you have dry land and then you'll cross and get over to the other side, but you're going to cross over Jordan is what you're going to do. Secondly, I want you to notice it in verse 5. That verse 5, he says that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So God says that no man will be able to stand against you. You're going to go conquer this land, and whatever you face, whoever is there, whatever battles you have, no one will be able to stand against you. Let's go further. Look at verses 7 and 8. That if in this time you follow the law of God, you will have success. Only be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Now we're not through. We'll get verse 8. But you follow my law just like it was revealed and you're going to do well. Now in verse 8 he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then will you make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. This is going to go well for you. But you're going to have to follow the law. You're going to have to do exactly what God says. You're going to cross over Jordan. You're going to face some battles. You're going to have some circumstances that are difficult, but you'll have success if you follow my law. Look at verse 11 now. At verse 11, the people now need to get ready, and they need to be prepared, and they need to get ready to cross over into Jordan. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you'll cross over Jordan. Get ready, we're about to go. This is what we've been waiting for. The promise has been given concerning the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. We're getting ready to go. In 3 days we're taking off and we're crossing the river. Now at verse 16, here was the response of the people. Verse 16 says, they answered and said to Joshua, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Sounds like cooperation, doesn't it? We're ready to go. Whatever you command, we're going to follow. Whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it. Wherever you tell us to go, that's where we're going to go. Preparations have been made for the conquest. Now, chapter 2. Chapter 2 has to do with sending out spies to Jericho, as you recall. And what happens in chapter 2? The spies went in, not to be confused with Numbers 13, those that came from Kadesh Barnea. We'll say more about them in a moment. But in chapter 2, there were spies that were sent to Jericho to spy out the city. And so they do. And they make a deal with Rahab to spare her, and consequently because she had hid the spies. Now I want you to notice at the end of chapter 2, the report that comes back to Joshua. The spies come back, and here's what they say. Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hand, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. It doesn't mean they're not strong. It doesn't mean they're not mighty. It just simply means that they've heard the report concerning God's dealing with the children of Israel. That's all that means. And so consequently, the report was, we think we can do it, quite positive, like Joshua and Caleb had been back in Numbers chapter 13. Now we come to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is where we want to focus. This is the crossing of the Jordan. The whole chapter is devoted to that. This is the crossing of the Jordan. I want you to notice at verse 1, they camped at the Jordan for 3 days before they cross over. And notice that they came to the Jordan, the text says, and they lodged there before they crossed over, and so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. So as they're camped there before the Jordan River, with the Jordan River in sight, they're camped there for 3 days, and in 3 days they're about to take off and they're going to go, as that we saw in chapter 1. Now I want you to notice verses 2 through 4 now. The officers go through the camp instructing the people. So we set the context, we set the pace, and this is where we're going to build our study this morning, but looking at some things, particularly in verse 4. I want you to notice now, beginning at verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, that when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And we'll stop there and we'll come to verse 4. Here's what we're going to do. We've been camping at the River of Jordan. We're on the banks here. And what's going to happen now is that at some point, 3 days from now, the priests are going to pick up the ark, and as they take off and the Levites begin to follow them, you just get ready, because you're going to be following behind them and you're going to start following. And I want you to notice verse 4 now. That you shall, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, a little more than a half a mile. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Notice the last phrase, and you might underline in your Bible, for you have not passed this way before. Let me get the picture. They're on the bank of the river. They're about ready to cross over. When you see the ark picked up by the priest and the Levites following behind, you get ready, and you put about a half a mile distance between you and the ark. And wherever they go, you go, and when they stop, you stop, and when they take off, you take off. And that way, you'll know the way by which you must go. Why do you say that? For you have not passed this way before. You see, they've never crossed the Jordan before. They've never taken walled cities before. Not like unto Jericho. Not like unto Ai and other cities. They have not taken walled cities before. They've never battled giants with chariots of iron, as was reported in Numbers 13. They've not done that before. They face a new challenge. They now face new difficulties. Oh yes, they had problems in the wilderness, and there were difficulties, and there were all kinds of problems in the wilderness, but they've not faced these kinds of challenges before. They've never crossed the Jordan before. And as with Israel, I want to suggest that we've not passed this way before. That you're going to be crossing your Jordan River. And you're going to be facing your giants on the other side. And you're going to face uncertain challenges that we'll list a little bit later. And there will be divine instructions, as it was with them. And we'll be comforted by the observations that we can make from the things we find in the text. Here's what we want to talk about this morning. We've not passed this way before. Isn't that interesting? Joshua told the people, now when you see the ark take off, you'll know which way you're going to go, because you've not passed this way before. You've not been here before. You're going on untrodden paths, and you've not passed this way before. Three things we want to notice in our study. Let's start with this. Let's talk about the uncertain challenges that they faced and the uncertain challenges that we face. What were some of the uncertain challenges that they faced at the bank of the Jordan River? I'm not talking about once they get to the other side and the land has completely been settled and all the inhabitants, or at least many of them, have been driven out. What kind of challenges do they face at this moment? Well, I want to suggest to you that things look difficult. There were untrodden paths. There were things that were a bit intimidating for them. And we're going to see those here in the context. Let's start with verse 8. I want you to notice, first of all, there was the crossing of the Jordan itself. There was the crossing of the Jordan itself. Look at verse 8, Joshua 3. That you should command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water, you shall stand in the Jordan. And we're not going to read the rest of that at this moment. But the rest of the text goes on that when they put their feet in the water, then we're going to cross over the Jordan here, and the waters are going to part. First of all, there's a challenge of crossing the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan is overflowing at the time. Look at verse 15. And those that bear the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all the banks during the whole time of the harvest. Deep enough as it was. But this isn't the time of the harvest when it's overflowing the banks. And they're standing on the bank and they're looking, how are we going to get across? That's intimidating. It's a challenge. They've never crossed the river in this fashion before. They haven't crossed a river like this before. And you say, oh yes, they have. Don't you remember when they came through the Red Sea? Not this generation. Remember them being in the wilderness? Joshua and Caleb had. That's why they were marching for 40 years. So they all die off. This generation that's ready to cross the Jordan didn't come across the Red Sea. They don't remember that. They don't see that. They haven't experienced that. They may have heard about it, but they've never experienced that. They've never gone this way before. They don't know what it's like to cross a river that God parted the waters. The waters are deep. The waters are swift. And how on earth can they get across? And what a challenge they have before them. And I want to suggest that it very well may be that you're standing on the shore of your Jordan today. Not literally, but it may be that in your life you've come to the Jordan River and it's deep and it's swift and the waters are rough. They're overflowing their banks and you're wondering, how on earth can I get across? I have a challenge before me. I've never been this way before. I've never crossed a river like this before. How in the world am I going to get across? We'll see some answers to that in a moment. Here's the second thing about an uncertain challenge they faced, and that was the mighty people found in verse 10. You're going to cross over the Jordan, verse 8. In verse 10, Joshua said, by this you'll know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. What a group of people. You'll remember the early report that there were giants in the land. Remember Numbers 13? These were when the spies were sent out from Kadesh Barnea. And most of the spies came back, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, they came back and said, we're well able to take it. They said, we're but grasshoppers in their sight. These are giants in the land. What mighty people are over there. Again, that had to be quite intimidating. It is not just that these people are going to be a problem to you. Now, if God had said this, this is not what he said, but let's just suppose for a moment God said, you're going to go cross over the river and you get over there. There's going to be some people you'll have to live with. It's going to be your land, but there's going to be this small group of people in one or two sections that are going to be just a pest to you and they'll be a pain to you. That's a difficulty within itself. But God says, when you get to the land, not only are they going to be a problem, but you're going to drive them out. You're going to. I'm not going to drive them out for you. But I'll be with you and I'll drive them out, but you're going to be the tool by which I used to drive them out. What a challenge that was. It is not just one group of people, but look at verse 10. It would be enough if God had said, when you get there, there's going to be the Girgashites that you're going to have to deal with, and you'll have to drive them out. But you're going to have to drive out the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites, and all of these people are going to be driven out of the land. What a challenge that was before them. And I want to suggest it very well may be that you're facing a mighty people in your own life. Not literally, but it may be that there is some challenge you're facing that is as great as conquering a land and driving out the inhabitants. You think, I'm looking at mighty giants in my land and I need to drive them out and I have a challenge before me and I've never been this way before. And I'm like the children of Israel standing on the bank of the Jordan. I don't know how I'm going to get across. And when I get across, I don't know how I'm going to fight all those people. But that's not the only challenge. Here's another challenge they had. And that is of trusting God through all of this. Trusting God through all this. Let's pick up at verse 13 now of our text in Joshua chapter 3. What do we mean trusting God in all of this? Well, I want you to notice God says that the waters will heap up. Here's how you're going to get across. Look at verse 13. It shall come to pass when the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord, Lord of God of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from the upstream, they shall stand up as a heap. What's God saying? The waters are going to be heaped up. Look at verse 12, verse 13, or verse, I'll get it right in a moment, verse 17. That you'll go across on dry land. They're not crossing over through the mud. You look at the river, and the river is flowing, and it's overflowing, coming out of its banks. And you're about to cross over. Not 3 months from now. You're not going to cross over 3 years from now, but you're going to cross over within 3 days. And God's going to heap the waters up on one side, and you're going to cross over on dry land. That's what's going to happen. Now, I want to suggest you get in the middle of that riverbed, and you look up at that wall of water on the right side. Remember, they're going from east to west. And the river's flowing from north to south, which means they look to the right side as they cross over that Jordan River. They're going to look up to their right side and see the water heaped up on one side. And you think about that. Will they trust God that He'll do what He says? Is it safe to go across? Is it safe to stand on this dry land where that water is heaped up on the one side? They have the challenge, are they going to trust God? And I want to suggest to you that it very well may be that you're crossing your river today and you're seeing the terrifying waters heaped up on your right side. And you're wondering, can I trust God? I know what He said. I know He said He'd heap the waters up, and He said He'd hold them back, and He said the land would be dry. And He said we'd get across on the other side, but can I trust what He says? Perhaps that's a challenge, but here's a fourth. Not mentioned here in this text, but we're going to go to another in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And that is, they're about to cross over into the land, and they're going to have it better than they've ever had it before. So let's back up to the book of Deuteronomy now. Now, this wasn't long before. I know this is several chapters back as you're going backwards to Deuteronomy 6. But this wasn't long before. This was about 30 days before they get ready to cross over into the Jordan River, cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. About 30 days before, Moses had spent that 30-day period lecturing them in three or four lectures, or three or four sermons, whatever you want to call them. And in the second of those sermons, here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 10. His warning was, it shall be that when God brings you into the land, which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you didn't fill, hewn out wells that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you're eaten and are full. We're not through. Let's get the point. You're about to go into the land and have it better than you've ever had it before. You're going to have houses like you've never experienced in the wilderness. You're going to have vineyards like you've never seen in the wilderness. You're going to have riches like you've never experienced before. And you're going to eat and you're going to be full. What's happening now? Look at verse 12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You see, they're about to have it better than they've ever experienced in the wilderness. They've never experienced anything like that. They've not been this way before. Remember that phrase? No, they've never crossed the Jordan before. They've never fought the battles like they're about to fight before, but they've never had it this good like they've had it before. Let's go to James chapter 1. That very well could be a challenge to them, and it was. Look at James chapter 1. James is talking about the trial of our faith. Talk about your faith being under trial, your faith being tested. And what's he saying about this testing? Well, let's look at beginning at verse 9 through 11. That a change in circumstance need not change your faith. It could, but it doesn't need to. What do you mean a change in circumstance? We'll read the verses and let's see if you don't see this. It could be a change in circumstance where you had an abundance of material things and you lose it all. That shouldn't change your faith, but it could. But James also talks about the very thing Deuteronomy 6 talks about. It could be that you have poverty, basically, and suddenly you come into wealth and you've had a change of circumstance that could change your faith, though it shouldn't. Let's see what he says beginning at verse 9. James chapter 1 beginning at verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner than has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass and the flower fails, falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man will fade from in all of his pursuits. What's his point? It could be that a rich man, again, loses everything, or the poor man gains everything, and it'll put your faith to the test. That was a challenge for them. Now, I want to suggest to you that it's not always something bad that is a challenge. Somebody says, you know what, I'm facing challenges in my life. They usually mean something bad. It could be an abundance of blessings become a challenge to us. When suddenly you've had it better than you've ever had it before, that could be a challenge to your faith. It was to them. There were certainly uncertain challenges. It may be that in your life you're eating from new vineyards you've never planted. And it's now a challenge to you. How do I deal with this? How does it affect my faith? Now let's make some application to us. I want to suggest to you that we face uncertain challenges like they did. And we could well say, you know what, I've not been this way before. That's what Joshua said to the children of Israel. Maybe it's a change taking place in your life. Maybe it's leaving home. You've not been this way before. Maybe you're moving away. Moving away from family. Going a long distance and you say, I've not been this way before. I don't know what this is like. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to face. Maybe it's going off to college. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe you're trying to make it on your own and you say, I've not been this way before. This is a new road for me. I have challenges. I'm uncertain about what the future is. I don't know if I can cross the Jordan or not. I don't know what kind of mighty characters I face on the other side. I don't know what kind of challenges I'm going to deal with. It may be that you've repented and you've turned your life around and you're wondering, can I really do this? Can I make it this time? I failed before. I went into sin and I went back into sin and I went back again. And I've repented again. Can I make it this time? Can I really get across Jordan this time? Maybe I'm starting to do things I've been neglecting. And I'm wondering, can I do it? Can I do it? I've not been this way before. I've not been living like this. I'm starting to study when I didn't study before. I'm starting to pray when I didn't pray before. Or maybe I'm giving up a practice that I've been fond of. It's going to be extremely hard, like crossing the Jordan, like fighting the giants. I've not been this way before. Maybe it's getting married and you're nervous. Because, you know, can I keep this together? Can I be the husband I really need to be? Can I be the wife I need to be? We've got a challenge before us. Marriage is hard. I see people failing all the time. Can we do this without fail? Can we? And when you enter into marriage, you've not been that way before. Maybe it's rearing and raising your children or having children. Child is born. And when you understand the seriousness, once you get over the excitement of having that new baby in your arms, you begin to raise the question, how can I raise this child to love God? And what about the mistakes I'm sure to make? How will this child turn out? I've not been this way before. Never raised a child before. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to approach this. I've not been this way before. I'm crossing the Jordan, conquering a land I've never seen. I'm on untrodden paths. Or maybe in your case, it's sickness. You're facing sickness. But at first you thought it was minor, now come to find out it's a major problem in your life. And I've never been this way before. So I've always been healthy, and now I'm facing a challenge. How am I going to deal with this? I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to bring. Maybe it's aging itself. Maybe it's aging. And as you get older, you think, you know what, I've never been this age before. I've always enjoyed youth. And I don't know what it's going to be like as I get older. And I have aches and I have pains and I have troubles. What's it going to be like another 10 years from now? What's it hold for me? It's like crossing the Jordan. It's like conquering a land. Maybe it's troubles in the home. You've experienced a great home life and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, there's troubles in this marriage that we've never had before. Or maybe you've experienced well with your children and suddenly they do something and they turn astray and you wonder, I've never been down this road before. I've always watched others, but I've never had trouble in my home. And what do I do now? How do I deal with this? I've not been this way before. Or maybe you're facing death. And it looks like the certainty of death, and the older we get, the closer we become to that point of death, and we get closer and closer to that Jordan River. And we may realize we're not but 3 days away from that Jordan River and crossing it, and what's it going to be like? And how will it be to get on the other side? And we're uncertain about the future. And you say, you know what, I've never been this way before. I've just never been there. And perhaps we are like Jonah, who would rather go to Tarsus than meet the task of Nineveh. Remember that? God had given him a task and told him how to do it and what to do. But he'd rather run off to Tarsus than to meet the task. Or maybe we're like Moses, who complained and claimed that he was slow of speech and slow of tongue to avoid a difficult circumstance that he was about to face of going before Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. Indeed, we have uncertain challenges. But here's the second thing. I want you to notice in this context, let's go back to our text in Joshua chapter 3 now. There was divine instruction that was given. In other words, God didn't just take the children of Israel and lead them through the wilderness, giving them manna and water to drink, and then brought them up to the bank of the Jordan River and then turn them loose and let them go and say, you're on your own. You get across the best way you can. Nor did he even say this, that I'll divide the waters for you, let them heap up on the one side, you get on the other side, and then I'm going to stay over here and you're on your own. But rather, God gave divine instruction. Let's see what it was. When God gives divine instruction for the challenges, we must have faith. Here's the first. Look at verse 3. At verse 3, he says, God will guide you. Well, that was before our text in verse 4. What did he say? Well, at verse 3 he said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You ever head somewhere where you don't have a clue where you're going, but somebody else is going and you say, let me follow you. And when they pull out in their car, you pull in behind them and you just follow them. You don't know where you're going, but you're going to follow them. That's exactly what. When the ark takes off and the priests take off, you follow in behind them. I'm going to show you how to go. I'm going to show you the direction. You're going to know when to cross the Jordan. You're going to know when you get on the other side. You're going to know exactly where you're going and when you're going. Because I'm going to show you. God's going to guide you. That's the idea. So when you see the ark, you follow it. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 4 says, staying back from the ark. Now, there was something about that that we'll come to a little bit later. But look at verse 4. That you shall put a space between you and it. 2,000 cubits by measure. That's 3,000 feet. That's more than a half a mile. Let the ark go ahead, but when it gets about 3,000 feet in front of you, then you follow in behind it and you begin to follow. And there's something about that distance tells you that you'll know the way to go. You'll see where they're going. There'll be some space between you. More about that in a moment. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9. Repeatedly Joshua made this point. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Sounds like Moses, doesn't it? Sounds like Deuteronomy 6. Sounds like the Shema. Come and hear the words of the Lord. God, indeed, will give his guidance. Here's the point. The point is just listen and follow instructions and everything's going to be okay. Oh, yes, the river's a challenge. And oh, yes, the mighty people are a challenge. And putting your trust in God may be a challenge. You just listen and follow instructions and everything's going to be okay. The same thing is true with your uncertain challenge. The Jordan that you're having to cross, the mighty people that you deal with. All those uncertain challenges. The Lord tells you what's ahead. The Lord tells you what's ahead. Now, he might not give you the details you're wanting. He may not be giving you all the things that you'd like to know, but he tells you what's ahead. Now, I'll tell you something else he tells you. He tells you where to go and what to do. When you face a challenge of your children, when you face a challenge of marriage, when you face a challenge of moving, when you, God tells you where to go and what to do. And what I learned from that, you just listen, pay attention, follow the instructions, and everything's going to be okay. Here's the second thing about divine instructions. There needs to be respect for the divine. I am impressed with the statement in verse 4. You should put a space between you and it. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way to go. There was a space that was to be put between the ark and the people. Now they're going to take off and you're going to follow, all right, but there needs to be a space between you and it. Do not go near. Don't get up there within a quarter of a mile of it. Don't do that. That's the ark of the covenant of our God. Don't get any closer. Remember, nobody was to touch it. Remember when Uzzah reached out his hand to touch it? Don't get close. Don't get close. What's involved in that? What's the reason? Well, he says, look at verse 4. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. It had something to do with the direction they were going. But to be certain, that had to include a deep fear and reverence for God. This is the Ark of the Covenant. It contains the covenant of our God. It contained the mercy seat where man meets with God. It had everything to do with divine reverence. It includes respect for God and things that pertain to God. You maintain a healthy respect for divine things. You maintain a fear of God and things are going to work out well. Because here's what that means. When you have this healthy respect for God and things that pertain to God, you're going to listen to the instructions. How so? Well, when God says march around the city once a day for 6 days, that's just a few chapters later, by the way. That's 3 chapters later than this. Then you're going to do exactly what he says. And it's all going to work out well, and it did. Now, when God gives this instruction and he said, do not take of the accursed thing, remember that, Joshua 6? You do that and it's going to work out well on the next attempt. Remember, they fell. They didn't listen. Achan didn't listen. And so you begin to turn around and you say, things don't seem to be going well of my handling this problem in my life, in my Jordan River. I'm not seeming to get across to it. Maybe you're not listening to the instruction. Maybe in the home life when things are topsy-turvy and turmoil within the family and you say, things are not going well, it's probably because you're not listening to the instructions of God. You say, I tried to raise my children right and they've turned out to the world. Something went wrong, I don't know. Maybe because you weren't listening. Maybe you weren't listening to the instructions. Remember Achan? He didn't listen. He didn't listen. Respect for the divine means you listen to the instructions. It means you put confidence in his promises. It means you're willing to put your life in his hands. You're going to get out right in the middle of the Jordan River, in the riverbank. It's dry now. And you're going to look up to the right side and you're going to see this heap of water and your life is in the hands of God. You're putting your life in his hands. You're trusting him. Because of the respect you have for divine. It very well may be on your untrodden path that calls for you to have a greater respect for the divine by listening to his instructions. And you have to look at it and say, you know what? God said do this and I'm just going to put my life in his hands and I'm going to do what he said and I'm going to trust he knows what he's talking about. I just trust he knows what he's talking about. This is going to work. It's going to work. And I just have to trust him. But now let's look at verse 13. Part of the divine instruction was, there comes a time you're going to have to step in the water. Somebody's got to step in the water. Look at verse 13. Let's jump down to verse 17 first and we'll come back. When the children of Israel go over, they're going to go over on dry land. But it's not dry right now. In fact, it's not dry when they start to cross. Look at verse 13. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. As soon as they set their feet in the waters of the Jordan will be cut off and the waters will be heaped up on one side. They're going to step their feet into the waters of the river that's overflowing. And if some heathen stood off to the side and stopped them and said, "What in the world do you think you're doing? We're about to cross this river." "What do you mean? About to?" "Yeah, we're going to set our feet right here in this water and it's going." "You kidding me? You think you're going to cross that Jordan?" They have to put their feet in the waters, and that's a test of their faith. In other words, that's a real leap of faith. We're going to go down to this river that's overflowing and the waters are topsy-turvy and things are rough and we set our feet in the water and the water's going to part. That's what God said was going to happen. That's a leap of faith. They had to have confidence that the waters are going to be held back just like God said. And the question is, are they really going to believe that God will do what seems to be impossible? This seems absolutely impossible to do, that we're going to cross on dry land. But God said, just put your feet in the water, take that leap of faith and step your feet in the water and the water's going to part. But not until you put your feet there. You got to step in the water. And I want to tell you, it very well may be time that we quit planning and worrying and just step our feet in the water by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe you're worrying about your marriage. Maybe you're worrying about your rearing your children. Maybe you're worrying about that move you're making or the job you're about to take. Whatever it may be in the future. And it may be time in your life to quit your worrying and quit your planning and just step out and put your foot in the water by faith and do exactly what God said and see if you don't get the results that God had planned. That's the point I learned. Now here's the last thing, and the lesson will be yours. We face uncertain challenges like they did. There was divine instructions that God gave them. But I want to suggest, thirdly, that there are some comforting observations. As we stand back and observe, as if this were a movie we're watching unfold before us, and we see what all takes place with the children of Israel, those fundamental observations bring comforts to us in our challenges. Like what? Well, first, this way it may be new to you, but not to your God. Let's go back to verse 4. What Joshua said, or the officers said, as they went throughout the camp telling the children of Israel, "We're going to leave in 3 days, and we're going to cross over the Jordan, for we have not been this way before." You've not been this way before. I didn't say God hadn't been this way before, but you hadn't been this way before. So you've not been this way, but God has. God's been that way. You see, crossing the sea and conquering the enemy is something God's done before. Now, this generation hasn't done that, but God's done that before. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter said, "Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And so you've not been this way before. You're carrying this burden, whatever it may be, this challenge you have before you. You bring your burden and cast it upon him because he knows what lies ahead. He's dealt with this before. You see, the God that's helping you, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me," has helped multitudes before you with the very same challenge. So here the children of Israel getting ready to cross the river. "We don't know what this is like. We've never crossed the river before." Joshua and Caleb said, God did that before. We've been there. We've seen that. This isn't new to God now. Don't get excited. Don't get worried. This is not new to God. Furthermore, the way may be new to you. You haven't been this way before, but it's not new to God's people. You see, you may not have been this way before. You're facing a challenge you've never faced before, but God's people have. Israel before had crossed the Red Sea. Remember that? We're not the first ones to come to this point. When you get ready to cross your Jordan, you're not the first one to ever have to cross the Jordan. When you get to the other side and there's a mighty enemy, you're not the first one to have to fight the enemy. When you have your uncertain challenge, you're not the first one to do that. So whenever you're facing an uncertain challenge, remember God's people have faced this before. You're not the first one to have marriage problems, have problems with your children, moving off to college, taking on a new job, whatever your challenge may be. You're not the first one to ever do that. Thirdly, the way may be new to you, but it's not more dangerous. The way may be new to you, but it's not more dangerous. The depths of the waters of Jordan, remember, they're overflowing the banks. And the thought of the people on the other side had to look like danger. Remember, they're within 3 days of going, and they're looking at the river, and it's overflowing the banks, and they're saying, we're going to go on the other side, and we're going to drive out the Hivites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, etc. That had to look dangerous. But neither of those would be any more dangerous than anything in the wilderness itself if they followed close to God. Do you remember the promise of Hebrews 13 and in verse 5? God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your challenge you're about to face, whatever it is, your Jordan that you're trying to cross, whatever mighty enemy that you may be facing, it's not any more dangerous than anything you faced in the past. It may be new to you, but it's not more dangerous. The way may be new to you, but God has always been faithful. You see, God had brought them out of Egypt. He said he would, and he did. God brought them through the wilderness. He said he would, and he did. He brought them to the promised land. He said he would, and he did. God's been faithful. You know what that means? That gives him all assurance when God says he'll part the waters are going to part. When he says he'll hold them back, he'll hold them back. And when he says you'll conquer the other side, they'll conquer the other side. That's what that means. God will be with you through all of your battles, and he'll never leave you. But finally, the way may be new to you, but the path you're on is the right direction. It's new to you, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong path. As they step out into the river and the waters begin to part, they're treading across an untrodden path of crossing on dry land through a river. They haven't done that before, not this generation anyway. But just because this is new doesn't mean you're not on the right path. That is the path God wanted them to take. When they come to Jericho and they get ready to take Jericho, they've never done this before, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong direction. That is the right direction. It is the right direction. Progress means that there's going to be a new path. And even if the way is uncertain and things seem to be fearful, going in the right direction has to be comforting. I know I'm going in the right direction because I'm following the direction of God. The officers went through the camp and they told the children of Israel, when the ark takes off, you take off after it. And that way you'll know which way you're going because you've not been this way before. And perhaps you're following something. Perhaps you're facing a challenge like they did, of facing an uncertain challenge. Listen to the divine instruction and be comforted from the observations that we make from Joshua chapter 3. We've not passed this way before. If you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, you've not passed this way before. In other words, you haven't become a Christian yet. It's a new path for you. Would you become one this morning? Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?